coming up this week on The Youth Perspective.
I can't underscore enough how important men are to the society, to the home, to the community, to the world, bro. Encourage men to stand up and be engaged. Stand up and be counted. Stand up and be a part of the conversation. Stand up and be a part of the solution and not the problem.
The Youth Perspective, where we shine the light on the youth of our nation. You don't want to miss this episode each Saturday at 7:30 p.m. on 1540 a.m. Power 104.5 FM, the national voice of the Bahamas.
I'm trying to be great, and I'm on my way, way up, way up, way up. It's never too late, and I'm on my way.
I'ma leave my mark, ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
With so much negativity being yielded at the youth of our nation, it seems hard to find any signs of a bright future. Coming from a legendary past, the new generation of Bahamians seek to take this nation to heights it's never seen. That's where the Youth Perspective comes in. We seek to display tomorrow's leaders in every facet of society. Each show will focus on today's pace setters, trendsetters, movers and shakers, and the next generation of great, impactful Bahamians. We seek to uplift, motivate, and encourage our listeners. Tune in as we address issues of importance with wisdom and intelligence, all from the youth perspective. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for locking it in. Thanks so much for tuning in and being a part of another edition of The Youth Perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, it is season 7, and I'm so excited to be in your company once again for another great Saturday. And this Saturday is very exceptional. This Saturday is very awesome. And, you know, last month we did a celebration of women. We had a really great time, you know, just talking about the future of young women and what we have seen, you know, the journey that has been taken in so many facets that we really dived into. But this week, this Saturday, we talk about men, all right? We talk about our young boys, our young princes, our young kings, and we are in a celebration mode as we prepare and get ready to celebrate, you know, something that is very special. It's a Father's Day, all right? Happy Father's Day. I want to take this time to extend Happy Father's Day to all the fathers listening in. And listen, I want to celebrate the men listening in as well. You know, sometimes you don't get the credit. Sometimes, you know, you don't get the pat on the shoulder. But, you know, we just want to let you know that you're loved and you are appreciated. And somebody else who is also loved and very appreciated is my brother, who is joining me on The Youth Perspective. It is not his first time, not his first rodeo in these Youth Perspective streets. He has joined me many a time, particularly during the Easter time and particularly during the Christmas time, with his time as a youth pastor here in Nassau. And of course, he joins me by way of Zoom, Pastor Beyond Burrows. Great evening is extended to you and your family. How you doing? And welcome once again to The Youth Perspective.
Hi, good evening, Cash again. Thank you so much for having me. I am just elated and just so proud of you, man, just to say that you kept this going, Youth Perspective. And so I am just excited just to be a part of this conversation as we discuss and we talk about fathers. And that being said, I want to shout out to my dad. I know he's going to be watching this, Reverend Archulus Burrows, who's my father. And he is just being my example of what manhood has been and what it means to be a father, what it meant to be a husband. And I just want to salute him, sir. Shout him out and salute him and just let him know that I love him and I appreciate him so much. And shout out to all of the great dads, including yourself, Cashian, who are just, you know, standing firm and doing what you are called to do by Almighty God, to be the fathers to your children and to even those that you have influence over. And so bless all of you and whoever is listening to this and your listening audience. Just shout out to you all, fathers, who are doing a great, great, great job.
Right, indeed. And we thank you so much for joining us. And let's dive in. Before we, you know, really get into the crust and the thought of our conversation, tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, the wonderful work that you do. So persons could be a little bit more familiar about Pastor Burrows.
All right. Well, thank you for that. You know, like I said, my name is Beyond J. I go by PBJ, Pastor Beyond J. And I'm a pastor at heart. I believe in shepherding. I believe God has called me to his kingdom to shepherd his people and to be a part of helping them to become the masterpiece of God's creation. So I've been in a ministry for a hot minute now, for a few years. I've had the great privilege and of pastoring and being a minister in Nassau, Bahamas, in several organizations and several churches. So that's a little bit about myself right there.
And, you know, the thing about it is I was, you know, thinking about, okay, who could I invite on this show? You know, that's a great and amazing father. You know, that's a young person, you know, just doing incredible things. And, you know, as I watch your page and, you know, as I watch you with your girls, first and foremost, you make me want to be a girl dad. All right. I just want to put that out there. Right. All right. I got a young prince right now. And so that's the first thing. But also, you know, the care and the concern that you take and the time you take with your daughters, you know, is very, very inspiring. Where did that image, or where does that tenacity come from with how do you react, not just to your daughters, but even if we go back to the times when you were in youth ministry, that you related to the other young persons that were kind of under your wings?
Oh, great. Great question. Yeah. For me, well, let me put it like this. I'd have to help you. I'd have to sell a little backstory and just real quick. And then probably a little bit of my story and testimony, a little bit more of my story and testimony. So I'm a widower. My late wife passed away in 2020, January 31st, 2020. She passed away. She was sick for a little while and battling cancer, and it was an aggressive form. And so it just took over very rapidly. And so within less than a year, she was gone. And I was always involved in my daughter's life. Even when my late wife was alive, we were very, very intentional about our parenting. We were very intentional. Many, many years ago, I read a book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by, I think it's Stephen Covey, who wrote it. And in there, one of the seven habits was beginning with the end in mind. And I would always say to my late wife that one of the things that I know is when our children become of age, like 18, 20, or 21, I know what type of child I want to see. I know what type of individual I want to see at that point. And by the grace of God, if we live to see that, I would love for our children to have certain things in place and their, you know, in habits. And like the word of God says, train up a child in the way they should grow. And when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And so even with those two principles in mind, the biblical principle as well as that habit from the book, I just realized that, you know what, we have to be so intentional about our parenting. And if she were here, she would laugh and she would tell you that initially, I didn't see myself as a girl dad. I didn't see myself as a girl dad. I wanted boys, at least the first one to be a boy. And it was kind of like, oh man, when we found that we did the ultrasound, right? And we found that we were having a girl, I was like, oh man, I have a girl. And I was a little disappointed, deflated. And I was praying so hard, God, I want a boy. But then I said, you know what? I don't care at this point, because I know that once the child comes out healthy and comes out well, and even whatever the Lord blesses me with, I know God would have equipped me and given me everything that I need in order to father this child and to be there for them. And so that being said, I had to mentally shift my mindset. I had to mentally make a mental shift and say, you know what, I am going to love my child. I'm going to be there and be very intentional. So make it a point to be on every to many things that I can be in their life, pour into them, talk to them, train them and nurture them, obviously grow them up in the faith, expose them to the faith, and not to the point where, and one thing I didn't want to do is put a point where they would, is almost an indoctrination or brainwashing, right. But where I can teach them about God and let them grow and come into an authentic faith for themselves and see God as their Heavenly Father, just as I see Him mm-hmm. as my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And in order for them to see Him as the Heavenly Father, that means I would have to be the best father that I could possibly be. Mm-hmm. And so all of that, Cash again, was my motivation to say, you know what, I want to be a girl dad. And then lastly, the last thing is girls are just so affectionate. They are very affectionate. And they, and listen, after raising the children, my two girls for 10 years, and then, you know, with my late wife being there and doing that, now she's been gone. So 2 years, I guess, doing it on my own. And also with my village around me, man, I just say, you know what, I give God thanks because of that mentality that I had in the very beginning. And that's, and my daughters have softened me. They have helped me to just shape me and mold me into the person I am. And I don't know. It's a pleasure and a privilege, bro. It's just, when mm-hmm. I see it like that, I get to do this. You know right. what I'm saying? Not that they are mine and I you know, like I have a, what you call it, what's the word? They owe me anything or whatever. No, I get to be their father, mm-hmm. and that for me brings me so much joy. And whew, I get so full thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I thought about this question. You know, you brought it up, and you know, I hope it's, you know, not too uncomfortable for you. But you know, we have a lot of different have a lot of fathers listening in. We also have some mothers listening in as well. You mentioned your late wife. So how have you been navigating now for the last 2 years, a young father, you know, and you, of course you're doing your work in the ministry, doing other things outside of that. How have you been able to adapt, and what encouragement could you give other, persons who are widowed out there and they have to, you know, now raise a child or children, you know, in this new phase of their lives?
Here's the thing. Just it's not uncomfortable for me, at least in this point, because I have made it a point to not ignore my feelings, not ignore the grief, not ignore what I had to go through in terms of processing everything, processing all that I had to endure mentally, emotionally, even physically. Just I made sure that I had to face that. You can't run from it. You have to face it. Like the psalmist says, you have to go through that valley of the shadow. You have to go through. And so when you go through the valley, you are going through the valley, understanding that the valley is dark. The valley is could be a little bit scary. The valley is a little bit uncertain. The valley is a place where you don't necessarily want to be, mm-hmm. but where you find yourself at that present moment in time. And so therefore, what you got to do, you have to prepare yourself to go through, equip yourself, and know that your Heavenly Father, at least for me, my faith informs every fiber of my being from every aspect of my life. And knowing that God, being the orchestrator of my fate, He will be the one who, and I guess faith, He will be the one who, if He allows me to come to this particular circumstance, then He would have equipped me to come to deal with that particular circumstance. And so when my late wife transitioned, or when I realized that her health was on the decline, it was every day was a mental shifting, saying, okay, God, I'm praying for a miracle, but at the same for you to come through, and I know you are able to. But at the same time, I am aware that if He chooses at His good pleasure to take His child back to Him and He leaves me with these two daughters and to raise, it is not that He would equip me with every single thing that I need in order to make that happen, provide every single thing that I need. And so when I released that to God and put that in His hand and didn't take it off the altar, when I released that to God, then I found myself moving in a direction of more so trusting God and relying on Him. So that's for me personally. The second thing I would say is you got to, and so you have to confront it, you have to deal with it, you have to go through it. But the second thing, the other thing for me is my village. Mm-hmm. I had to have a village around me. Like the saying goes, or the old adage goes, it takes a village to raise a child. I recognize that now I have two children that I have to raise on my own. So therefore, I need a village to be around me. Everybody can't be a part of your village, but you need a village, at least people who you know mean you well and mean the lives of your children well. Then you need to connect with those people and make sure I help them to understand that you are part of my village. So initially, when I realized what was happening and the direction things was going in, then I say, you know what, I need to make sure shore up, kind of crystallize and help my foundation, my foundational people to be in place to say, you are part of my village and you are going to be ones who can help. Mm-hmm. So that's where that's the mentality and mindset and the perspective I took.
Okay. Wow. That's a whole lot to unpack right there. And we thank you. Thank you for sharing that and being open to be able to help persons in that area. You know, just natural life occurrences, you know, persons find themselves in that particular pathway of life. And so it's always great when we have somebody who could be able to give some advice, you know, who could be able to give us some tutelage in that area. I want to ask you, you know, as we look forward to these interesting times that we found ourselves in, where, you know, it's more of a model of online and, you know, we're doing more things digitally, all this good stuff. You know, as a father, you know, as a man who is working with a lot of individuals, how have you been able to really work this new dynamic into your life while still being present, you know, with your children?
Oh, man, I'll say, yeah, it's been difficult. It's been challenging. I don't like to use the word difficult all the time, but mm-hmm. I guess that's synonymous. But it's been a challenge, yeah. But like I said earlier, you got to face every challenge head on. You got to realize that you can't shrink back. You can't shrink back and act like, oh, this is just going to blow away. It's not going to just go away. Mm-hmm. You have to be the one who has to rise to the occasion. And you can't just allow anything, whether it be grief, whether it be a challenge in life, whether it be an illness, you can't allow it to control the narrative. Right. You have to recognize that God has given you dominion. He has given you the authority. He has given you the power to stand, and having done all, yet still stand. There's a preacher in me. I don't know. I can be quoting some Bibles in and out.
Sure.
But you have to be able to stand, and having done all, still stand. And so as you're going through, and so anyhow, specifically to the question you asked, yeah, it's been times where, man, I, you know, was like, man, I'm literally on a Zoom and they're making noise. And someone even said, Pastor B, you know, you could hear the children. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So sorry. But from there, it was just, for me, dealing with my children and dealing with them in this time was just constant communication. That was one of the things that we had to do on a regular. We had to constantly communicate. So I would literally, and not just in the heat of the moment, but prior to. So we would have regular, even prior to my wife transitioning, we had regular family meetings. Even if it was just her and I, and the children would be there. And even if they couldn't understand what was happening, we would try to break it down for them.
Wow.
We would have regular family meetings around the dining room table. And just talk about it. They would see the way I handled their mother, and they saw the way we talked. I made it a point to constantly continue those conversations with my daughters, and we would sit down, and we would have talks, and I would explain to them what is the expectation, what do I need them to do, what do I need, and the reason why. I find a lot of parents don't tell children why certain things are happening. And even if they don't understand, per se, you could just say, well, trust, even though I let you know the why, maybe later on you will, but trust daddy, trust mommy right now. But in my case, just trust daddy that no, even if this is happening and this doesn't sound great and it might sound scary, that daddy is there. And by God's grace and with God's help, because I can't do nothing without him. Y'all can't do nothing without him. We are going to make it through. And so that's what's really helped being my guiding light, I guess, in the season.
Okay. Wow, it's very, very awesome show, ladies and gentlemen, as you're tuned into The Youth Perspective. And it's a celebration of men. We're talking about, pre-Father's Day, Happy Father's Day information and our show as we just talk some good men stuff. All right. Now, I can't believe we are almost at the end of the show. But I really want to get this question in as we really, you know, manhood. And of course, this is a show within itself. You know, we could go for a whole 30 minutes just talking about this aspect. But manhood, malehood, the husbandness, even though it's not a word, but if you understand what I'm saying, it's changed. The dynamics of the male has changed over the years. And so, you know, there has been times where it has been questioned the importance of having a man in a home or the importance of having a male as the lead figure in a home. Let's talk about that as we get ready to wrap up. From your vantage point, from your view, the importance of the male, the importance of the man in the home, in the community, in the society.
Oh, yeah. I can't underscore enough how important men are to the society, to the home, to the community, to the world, bro. And I don't want to knock nothing and say, oh, it's unfortunate. Like, I was watching TikTok the other day or somewhere online. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always online beyond it. I'm still there doing that.
Right.
So I was online somewhere, and the guy was telling the story about how Father's Day was the least celebrated holiday or recognized day in the world. Mm-hmm. Halloween beats Father's Day. The tops were Christmas and Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. But I can't underscore how important it is for men to stand up to be men, man. It is just, it kind of gets me to the place where, you know, I want to encourage my brothers because I could get really emotional about it and just say, man, men are, you know, we get this bad rap that we are so detached, we are so unemotional, we are so uninvolved. And to some extent, that is true because of the nature of how we are. But and what we need to be and what we need to do as protectors, as priests, as providers, you know, that's kind of like, we kind of have to be that way. But men, I would want it, if there's anything I would want to say, I'd want to encourage men to stand up and be engaged, stand up and be counted, stand up and be a part of the conversation, stand up and be a part of the solution and not the problem. Put yourself in a position where you understand and take care of your responsibility and see women for who they are. I mean, I'll be very transparent with you, Cashigan. Mm-hmm. There was a point in time where, you know, even though I'm, you know, this pastor and all that good stuff, that I did not see the value, the real value of women, appreciated women for who they are. And God had to really do a work in me and mm-hmm. shift my mindset and shift my mentality and take me through some things to help me to understand that I have to be better. Mm-hmm. I have to do better, and I have to do better for myself, and I have to do better for my community. And that being said, and that's part of the reason why I believe God gave me girls. Like I heard somebody say the other day or a few years ago, God gave men girls because he knew they could raise angels or something like that. It sounds really cute, but at the same time, I think it has some merit to it that men have to be involved in the lives of their children.
Right.
The statistics are true out there and we have so many countless statistics to show that when men are not involved, the trajectory of the lives of the children, what happens, mm-hmm. you know? So it would be my appeal that men don't see yourself not as a sperm donor. Because when you become a sperm donor, you cheapen the process. God has ordained you and called you to be greater than that, mm-hmm. to be the vanguard of your home, wow. to be the ones who establishes the order. Husbands, I heard Dr. Miles Monroe said, husband is a coming together of two words, the house bond. You are the bond of the house that brings the house together. And as somebody who has lived it and also now not, you know, being married at one point and then my marriage came to an end when my wife transitioned and, you know, and now being a single father, I recognize that, man, this is a big deal,
yeah.
you know, and it's not It's not for the faint at heart. And so it's time for men to stand up and do what they got to do. And even if you are not in an ideal situation, and you know, you might have a you might not be in a home where your children live with you, right or under you, still make it a point to go the extra mile at that point to be involved in the lives of your children. And even if you are not a father, prepare yourself to be a father.
Yes.
Prepare, you know what, not even to be a father, because that might not be God's will for your life, but prepare yourself to be somebody who is going to be a credit to your community, to your society, to your family, your extended family. And if the Lord so wills and blesses you with a family, just be a credit to that rather than be somebody who detracts from it. Mm-hmm. So that's my whole thing, bro.
Pastor Beyond Burrows, we're going to give you a couple minutes to be able to give your closing comments as we get ready to wrap up this special edition of The Youth Perspective. You could take it away with your closing comments.
All right. Well, again, Cashkin, I just want to say thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be a part of this conversation today as we discuss and talk about manhood, as we talk about fatherhood, and as we talk about just the whole idea of the role of men in society, in the world at large, I think, and even just looking at the local society, that's very, very critical. Men are critical, and real men who are going to stand up, because I recognize that the world is broken, and I know that everything will not work out well, and it's not the ideal. But if we get to a place where we can understand that, you know what, even though this is not the ideal, I still have a role to play. I still have a part to play, and I still have to take up my responsibility and not run from it, because it's not going anywhere. And unless you, as a man, if you have a responsibility that has your name on it, you need to take it up. Because therefore it's going to cause, if you don't take it up, then somebody else is going to have to take it up, or that thing might just fall to the ground and crash and burn, unfortunately. And we don't want that, you know, especially we have so many examples of people who if had a father or a father really stepped up and being the person that they were supposed to be in their lives, that perhaps quite possibly is highly possible and probable that the trajectory of that individual's life could have been different. And so that's what we want to see. So I would say as we wrap up, and some just piggybacking off of something you just said, where we have to learn, how to do these things, because these things are not innate to us. They are not a part. We don't have all of this right up in our head. But with intentional growth and change and learning, we can get to a place where we see these things as second nature. Like I said, a part of my testimony is I had to learn that. I had to come to a place and understand what it means to be a father, what it means to be a man, what it means to lead with intentionality. And I don't get it right all the time. Like the other day, my youngest daughter, 8-year-old Bri, we call her Bri. Bri had to correct me because I spoke to her very harshly one time. And she said, "Hold on, Daddy, I'm going to need you to say that a little nicer." And so I said, wow. I was like, "You know what, Bri? Thank you. You are right. I will say I should not have said it to you. I did. I apologize." And then I said it differently. And then she said, "Thank you very much, Daddy." And so she had to correct me. So it was a matter of, so I say all that to say that you have to learn. It has to be intentional. You have to learn it. You have to want it. And recognize that it is a privilege that you get to do that and be their father. When you get that, when you see that, man, I think that changes, that would change the whole game. That changes the whole game. It's a privilege to do these things, to partner with God, to raise an individual, to become the fullness of all that God has created them to be. And when you think about that, it's like, what? I get to partner with God to do this? Oh my goodness. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And I thank God for, again, so as I close, the opportunity to be here with you, to share, to encourage somebody. And by God's grace, hopefully we'll see some more change in our communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much for joining us on this edition of The Youth Perspective. Always a pleasure to be able to get you on and have a great conversation. And it wasn't truly an amazing conversation, and I'm sure that the public, the globe, appreciate it because, of course, as I said, each and every show, we go to the globe via the Bahamas Radio Network. So we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again.
All right. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much for being a part of this edition of The Youth Perspective. Once again, we say Happy Father's Day is extended to all the fathers out there. We celebrated and, of course, took some time to acknowledge all the hardworking men out there. Hey, listen, we appreciate you. We love you. Continue to be the kings that you are. Continue to be the trailblazers. Continue to be the pace setters. Continue to be the priests in your home and continue to make an impact in this life. All right. I want to encourage you to continue to be the authentic, true man that you are and continue to build better individuals and to build a better tomorrow. Have a beautiful evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you on the next edition of The Youth Perspective.
I'm trying to be great, and I'm on my way. Way up, way up, way up. It's never too late, and I'm on my way.
I'ma leave my mark, ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
I hope you enjoyed another edition of The Youth Perspective. Stay tuned for more interviews, more in-depth conversation, great music as we seek to encourage, empower, impact, and uplift our youth of this nation. Here on The Youth Perspective, we'll see you next time right here on The Youth Perspective with Kashuk and Jamal.